This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hall of Famer legend Gary Williams will be on the show today. We'll talk some Terps hoops with Gary a little bit later on in the show. Maryland's on a roll. I'll weigh in on that as well. This from Owen Denton to open up the show. Owen is a 24-year-old fan of the show, fan of the team, lifelong listener and Skins fan, he writes. Five stars of a show you guys have. Quote, after watching the team all year and constantly listening to your show, I'm surprised you didn't mention that Jaden didn't have any flaws on your show last week. While I mostly agree and love Jaden Daniels to death, I have identified a few flaws from this past season that I think fixable for him and Cliff to work on. So Owen's done some heavy film work, Denton, and he's got three suggestions. Now, let me mention, Owen's responding to a show last week in which I, you know, pulled a quote from, I think it was Aaron Schatz, who essentially said, don't necessarily buy into quarterbacks in year two making a big jump from year one, especially when they had the kind of year that Jaden Daniels had. And I said, yeah, when you think about that logically, like, what are we going to see that is significantly improved from his rookie year? Like, at what point next year are we going to say, my God, did he get better at that? Wow. He went back in the offseason and he fixed that little problem that he had that was leading to this and that, and great job. Like, you and I were talking about this last week, and it's like, well, he doesn't have any flaws. I mean, there's a big difference between flaws and working to improve on something that is already done at a pretty good level. I don't think Jaden had a flaw. Like, you might say, well, he could improve in this area, he could improve in that area, and that's fine. But he didn't have a lot that was noticeable to the, you know, to the average evaluating football eye that we would notice next year got a lot better. Anyway, back to Owen's email, because he's identified a few flaws from this past season that he thinks are fixable for him, Jaden, and Cliff Kingsbury to work on. Number one, he writes, pocket presence and footwork. He writes, I'm surprised you didn't mention this because you did mention this mid-season. He does have somewhat of a habit to drift in the pocket and sometimes into the pressure. Not all of the time, but would like to see improvement here. Owen, there is no doubt that during one portion of the season, and I think it was earlier in the season, I remember saying he does occasionally drift a bit too much. He does occasionally, you know, kind of move into the pressure. But like you said, you know, I mentioned this mid-season. By the end of the season, it really wasn't an issue anymore. He was literally filleting teams from the pocket, left and right. But I do remember that there was a bit, right, Denton? Remember, like, midseason? Yeah, look, that the Philadelphia game in particular, and the next thing that Owen mentions, I'm gonna get to the Philadelphia game, the Thursday night Philadelphia game. But there were a couple of moments during, you know, look, week one, you should almost toss. Like, week one doesn't resemble anything that we saw the remainder of the year, starting in week two, when he was looking downfield rather than just running for the sake of running. But there were a couple of games where I remember saying he does tend to sometimes drift a little bit. But I don't think that that was a flaw by the time we got to the end of the year. Right?
No, there was. I feel like a lot of the what you would be considered to be flaws got better as the year progressed. So like,
yeah,
if this guy's digging deep on film, I would hope that he's watching all of the year. Because I could find flaws from like week one, but they were way better by week six, you know?
Yes, I agree. I mean, personally, I don't think anything was a flaw by the time we got to the end of the year. I don't think he had any flaws. There were probably some areas where the coaches would tell you with a much keener evaluating eye and with a lot more information, hey, this is what we're going to work on a little bit. You know, things like, because I, you know, many Mondays I would come in here and say, look, it seems like it was the perfect game. It was certainly an A+. The QBR, the PFF, everything resembles a near flawless game. But I bet you the coaches will find a play or two where they would say, you know, you went to Diami here. Actually, if you had waited another tick, look at what happened over here. You know, we had Crowder, you know, broke wide open and it was a bigger play. Whatever. I mean, we're talking about areas in which the team probably recognizes some area of improvement. But let me just also say before I continue with the rest of Owen's email, what I love about this email, Owen, it's such a reflection of this market, this fan base, this sports fan base. You know, I've been at times over the years, especially with Caps fans, been, you know, taken to task for not doing a lot of hockey on the show. And I've said many times before, I said, look, I mean, there's a time for hockey. It's usually when people, you know, the masses are paying attention, the playoffs, like we will have a lot of Caps talk when we get to these playoff games. They're going to be potentially the number one seed, more likely than not, in the East and one of the favorites to go on to potentially win a Stanley Cup. Now, I think they're not actually one of the favorites, even though they could end up having the best record in the sport when they come off of this country in season thing, which I've heard is incredibly intense and very entertaining. I'd be lying to you if I told you I've watched any of it. I've read about it, seen some of the highlights. But anyway, I digress. The point that I'm trying to make is that there's a big difference between hockey and football, hockey and even basketball in this town. You know, what Owen's doing is what a lot of fans do when it comes to football. There is a feeling among fans, and I'm not saying we're the only market like this, but this is what I love about it, is that everybody's a coach, everybody's a GM, because you understand the game. You can't do that. You can do that with a few people. And by the way, there are a couple of people on sports talk radio that understand hockey to a certain degree. But with the masses, in terms of reaching a mass audience outside of the playoffs for hockey, there isn't a lot of post-gaming. Like, man, I really think that the way they were using that, 1-3-1 trap, defensively, I really think they should have gone to more of a whatever. We don't get that. What we get is this. Oh, and this is people dig in to the detail. And by the way, and I'm one of these people, feel like you do understand it to a certain extent. And so this is a breakdown from Owen on Jaden Daniels and what they should prioritize in the offseason, in terms of what they should work on. Football and basketball, football obviously more so than anything else, people are pretty sure they have the answers. And by the way, they present them in a way that, is usually somewhat sensible. Anyway, so number one was pocket presence and footwork. I mentioned this during the midseason that he drifted a bit, sometimes into pressure. I don't know that it was as much into pressure. I think sometimes he drifted back a little bit, and then that created more of an opportunity for him to make a play. Number two was mid-level accuracy. Owen thinks that this is an area that, in which Jaden and Cliff can work on, that it's a that's a fixable flaw. Although he was pretty damn accurate all year, I did see a good amount of high and very low balls thrown in the middle of the field and into dangerous areas. Most of the picks were not bad reads, but bad balls. So, look, man, I don't think that mid-level accuracy was a flaw in any way, shape, or form. I do remember some of the misses at times, and let's face it, he didn't have a lot of misses, but some of the misses were high at times, except for in that Philadelphia Thursday night game. A lot of the misses were low and in the dirt, if you recall. That's the one game outside of the Tampa opener in which things didn't look like they were, you know, understood. That was a rough night overall, not just for Jaden, but for Cliff, for the offense. They had a short week to prepare for Vic Fangio and that Eagles defense. You know, so we understand that that is a bit of an aberration when they had more time to prepare for it, witness a month later or, you know, 7 weeks later in the NFC title game, it looked a lot different. I don't think that he had any sort of mid-level accuracy issues. I think every quarterback occasionally misses high or misses low, especially under pressure. I don't have all nine, and that's all he threw, were nine interceptions. I don't have all nine in front of me. I don't remember if they were bad balls more than bad reads. I don't remember, actually. I do remember the Philly game on that Thursday night. You know, he forced a couple. Blankenship had a pick in which he really came back, and he was late, and they fooled him, and he forced it. That sounds like a project. To go back and look at the nine interceptions to say, were they bad balls or bad reads? Does anything come to mind for you, Denton, on his, you know, his nine interceptions in his rookie year? Just nine interceptions as a rookie? Do you remember? I don't remember all of them. There just weren't a lot of them to remember, obviously. But were they bad balls more than bad reads? Were they drops? Were they deflections? I can't remember all of them.
There were a few bad balls. I remember a distinct few. I don't remember all of them. I remember the ones against Philadelphia. The one to C.J. Gardner-Johnson was a bad ball. It was high. It was over the top. He missed. I think it was Luke coming over the middle. But I remember that one because
End of that game. The game they won.
The game they won. It was. Yes. I think it was the final turnover. But I remember that one because I don't like C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And he got kicked out at the in the second half in that one. And I think he also threw a pick in that one to Blankenship.
Yeah, well, he threw the Blankenship one in the Thursday night game, and I remember that was a play in which he got fooled by the coverage. And they were trying to force it at that point, because remember, I think at that point they had fallen behind by two scores.
There was the one against Atlanta, too, where he got fooled. Remember, it was the possession. They were quick slanting to death, and then like either the D-end or the defensive tackle. Maybe it was a linebacker who showed blitz and stepped out, and he was right in the throwing lane. That was just like every quarterback is going to make that mistake. You just got to
Caden Ellis, right? Yeah. Anyway, let me continue with this. So then the last one is in terms of flaws that Cliff and Jaden can work on. Number three, wide receiver reads. Although we understand how phenomenally smart he was at reading defense and executing the offense, it felt like most weeks we talked about so many open misses with his wide receivers on the show. I'm not a coach, so I really don't know, but just something to point out. I don't know about open misses. You know, I felt like most weeks we talked about so many open misses. I don't think that's the case at all. I think there were weeks in which we said maybe he could have thrown it elsewhere. The coaches were probably going to tell him, you know, on three or fourth rows, hey, you could have gone to this spot or you didn't need to run. You could have thrown here. But I don't remember a lot of open misses. Right? Open misses? The guy completed 69% of his passes to, by the way, you know, not a great supporting cast for the most part. So I guess, first of all, honestly, this is, I love the this level of passion and really, like, I'm going to take on this thing, and I actually think there are some flaws here. This is what he needs to work on. Okay, great. We all have opinions, whether they're right or wrong. I would bet you, without question, Owen, that there are a list of things that Cliff Kingsbury and Tavita Pritchard and David Blau and the whole group and sat down and said, all right, these are the areas where we'd like to see some improvement, you know? But we're talking about, like, marginal improvement, maybe significant improvement, but not because these things were identified as flaws, but they were identified as areas in which he could be even better. There's a big difference. You could be even better at doing this. You could even be more consistent on the deep ball if you handle it this way. But I don't think at this point, after the season we just saw, that I would personally identify anything needing some level of improvement as a flaw. Anyway, thank you for that email. Do you want to, like, I was thinking I'd like to see, because we didn't take calls on this last week. Like, I did say it's hard for us next year. It will be hard for us to say that, man, he really improved upon, you know, this. I can't think of anything in which it would be so obvious that there was massive improvement on it. Maybe some of you disagree, like Owen does. Owen saw the very few flaws. I mean, that was the title of his email. It's not like he didn't think Jaden was great. He identified a few flaws. Like, what for you can Jaden fix that you'll, you know, see next year and say, wow, he worked on that and got that fixed? What are his flaws, if he has any? Or what are, more importantly, because I think it's really hard personally for me to identify a flaw, like an actual problem that needs to be fixed. What are the areas in which you think he can improve upon? I think that's a different conversation and a fair conversation. If you think he's got major flaws, have at it. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. We'll open up phone calls, phone lines for that. I do, Denton, want to do a quick, what do you got?
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I don't know if you've been following the odds on the number one pick in the draft. Cam Ward now is pretty much a solid favorite to be the number one pick in the draft. I've seen him basically anywhere from minus 150 to minus 180 to be the first pick in the draft. Abdul Carter is actually the second favorite to be the number one pick in the draft. Have you looked at any of the props on draft yet?
I have not looked at a lot of the props, but I knew that Cam Ward is viewed as the favorite.
I didn't know that. I thought Travis Hunter was going to be the favorite. I thought most people said you can't pass on Travis Hunter if you're Tennessee.
I think Travis Hunter is viewed as the best player, but Tennessee needs a quarterback.
That's true. And that's clearly why Cam Ward's the favorite. So he's significantly ahead of Shedeur Sanders. Most of the odds have Shedeur Sanders as like the third or fourth favorite to be the number one pick at like plus 400 to plus 600, somewhere in that range, depending on which book you're looking at. But Cam Ward came out yesterday and said the following. He said, "You're either going to draft me or you're not. If you don't draft me, that's your fault. You've got to remember you're the same team that's got to play me for the rest of my career." and I'll remember that, closed quote. I actually like Cam Ward. Not anywhere near to the level in which I like Jaden Daniels or even Caleb Williams before the draft last year. Even honestly, and I liked Penix Jr. I thought Penix Jr. was the third best quarterback. I liked him more than May. And I liked May. I just didn't like him as much as the other guys. So I do think Cam Ward's skill set actually fits today's NFL. I think he's got a chance to be a good starting quarterback in the NFL. If you watched him at all at Miami, he can make every throw. He's incredibly mobile and elusive and kind of, you know, Jaden-like in his ability to kind of see the pressure, feel the pressure. What he is, I think, a bit too much of is he's way too casual, way too unaffected by anything, to the point where sometimes he'll take a 17-yard sack because he's just kind of hanging out and moving around and running around. But he's talented. He's gifted. I'll tell you what, though. That kind of statement, you want him to believe that. But if he says it, I promise you, which he did, I promise you that the tape is number one. The interviews face-to-face and all of the, you know, the true due diligence that teams do are 1A or 1B, all right? But this kind of thing, saying it publicly, is on the list for teams to look at and say, do you see what he said publicly? If you don't draft me, that's your fault. You've got to remember you're the same team that's got to play me for the rest of my career, and I'll remember that. For those of you that will say and will answer, well, what do you want him to say? Well, the answer is simple. Nothing. I want him to believe that full-fledged. I want him to believe that. I don't want him to basically threaten teams for not taking him, because he feels so confident in himself. I want him to be confident in himself. I also want him to have some good sense and not to say it. Don't overpromise and underdeliver. Underpromise and overdeliver. I can promise you this. If Jaden Daniels had said this last year in February, mid-February, about, you know, teams passing on him, I think a lot of you would have said, I'm out. I don't want this. Now, I would have felt differently about Jaden Daniels. I would have said, he's young. He'll learn. Wasn't super smart to say that publicly, in my opinion. I want him to feel that. I absolutely want him to feel that. I just don't want him to say it. I want him to show me. I want him to show everybody. You know, not tell everybody before he's taken his first NFL snap from center. But I don't know. In this day and age, does this thing get blown up for, you know, with a team? It certainly won't rise to the top two or three, but it will be on the notes list for everybody to review. Because character, culture, you know, all of that stuff is so important. And some of these things can be revealing. All right, Jaden Daniels. Does he have any flaws that need to be fixed? And if so, what are they? 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team980.com.